This sermon is titled, Journeying with the Ache. It begins a four-week sermon series on the Psalms and was delivered on October 23rd, 2011.
In 1620, English Protestants, called the Puritans, boarded the Mayflower. 100 of them, men, women, and children, set to leave their homeland to adventure to New England, with the hopes to find a better future. These were people who journeyed with the ache. In England, King Charles I ruthlessly persecuted them, taking away their pastors and clergy, forcing them to go underground, forcing them to not have a voice for social reform within the society. So they decided to leave, to risk it all on that ship, in that new world. But unfortunately, as they went there, as they arrived on the shores of Plymouth, their ache wasn't relieved, but it was intensified. Because they arrived later than they had hoped. It was almost into wintertime when they arrived, so their hopes of fishing and hunting at that moment was not possible. Food was sparse. There was hostility from the Native Americans that were there. Seeds of distrust and fear were sown. These were people who knew what the ache was all about. But it didn't take long, as the story goes, that winter, that spring, half of them had died of disease, of sickness, of lack of food. But they kept at it, and they were passionate about God. They were passionate about the Psalms. In fact, in 1640, they published the first book to be published in the New World called the Bay Psalm Book. Their clergy had translated for them the Psalms in simple English. And so, day in and day out, in the midst of the worst possible conditions, they said their Psalms. They used this prayer book to help sustain them when things were at their worst. These were people that journeyed with the ache. We are people who journey with the ache. The ache is oftentimes hard to put into words. The ache is those fears that seem to strangle us. The ache is those frustrations that just don't seem to go away. The ache is that fatigue in all of our bodies, that willingness that we want to do the good, but we're unable to. And the ache is those failures over a lifetime that seem to just paralyze us from continuing to push forward. We all experience the depth of this ache with one another. And in fact, even though we can't communicate it at times with one another, throughout our life we ask each other and ourselves a lot of questions. And the questions change over time, but they're something like this. How am I going to pay the bills this month? Am I a beautiful person? Do I have what it takes to make it in this world? Can I get up and go to work another day, another week? Another month? Is my marriage going to fail? Will I ever find a spouse who can truly love me? Why is this happening to me? Can I take this abuse any longer? Can I carry this burden any further? Can I survive more bad news? Where's hope in the midst of my declining health and my broken body? And who can put the broken pieces of my life back together again? These are questions of the ache. These are questions of the kind of gut level. Questions we ask in silence when no one's around. Questions that haunt us, that move us to act or not to act. We are people who journey with the ache. And then there's the Psalms. This collection of 150 prayers, they're poetry, if you look in your Bible. They're divided up into five books. And the Psalms give voice to the ache. The Psalms teach us how to pray to God. They're a gift that they give us as they teach us. They're a prayer book for our soul. And so John Donne, in a sermon in 1625, made the point that Psalms are like the manna that he fed the Israelites in the wilderness. As people of the ache, we've been given a gift, the Psalms. He also said, Psalms minister instruction and satisfaction to every person in every emergency and occasion. Psalms are spiritual food for every one of us as we journey with the ache. And so, as we try to crack open our Bibles, as we try to move into these Psalms, to let them become a part of us, we learn to pray. The Psalms are unique in that they give us a voice to speak back to God. And that's outstanding. And not only do they do that, they voice the deepest experiences, the deepest pains, the deepest aches imaginable. And so today we look at what biblical scholars have said. These are some of the aches or the movements that the Psalms talk about. The first movement of ache is thanksgiving. The psalm says, I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. When I think about psalms of thanksgiving, I can't help think about just about 5 days ago, my daughter and I were out on our front porch, and she takes my hand. She has the knack of taking my hand when she wants to talk to me. Now, she can't fully form full sentences and paragraphs, but you can almost pick up what she's saying. And she takes my hand, and she moves me over, and she says, go, and then she runs like this. And then she says, stop. And then she jumps like this. And then she says, go, stop. And I'm like, uh-huh, real cute, real cute. And then she says this, obviously perturbed that Dad's not fully getting it. She grabs my little hand. She tells me to sit. So I sit down, and she walks around me, and she says, duck, duck, goose. And so later that afternoon, I said, Stacy, so I'm getting this go, stop, and this duck, duck, goose thing. And Stacy says, oh, she just went to Ben Riemann's birthday party, and she's telling you she played duck, duck, goose and green light, red light. And when Stacy told me that, it was like, oh, how fortunate I am. And I could offer this thanksgiving with this ache in my heart and say, thank you, God, for a little daughter that wants to talk to me and explain these beautiful things. We've all experienced that thanksgiving that our hearts ache for. And then there's psalms of praise. Psalms that say, make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. My favorite word, awesome. Biblical justification for using it over and over again. Last week, I was in Snowmass for the clergy orders retreat, and one of my friends texted me and said, hey, we're going to a monastery. Are you in? And of course, I'm like, sure. So I walk down the hill, I get in the car. I had no idea what I was getting into. I've actually never been to a Night Vespers monastery before, so we went to the Benedictine Monastery in Snowmass. And as we enter, it's beautiful. It's a gorgeous place. And it actually is about the size of this room, but they have adjusted all the seating to be on the stained glass. But in the center, they have this little U-shaped place of 11 seats. And then everyone sits around. Well, you know me enough by now that I was like, if I'm coming to this monastery, I'm going to get a front row seat to this thing, you know? So I actually sit in the U-shaped thing. And the wise friend who sat next to me looked at me and said, that's not where you sit down. And so I sat back down, and then the priests come in, and they sit in the U-shaped thing. The U-shape is reserved for the priests, dummy. So they come in, and what is absolutely amazing is that I had never experienced, they actually, there's no instruments. It's actually a very hollow acoustic place, and they sing the Night Vespers to you. So they sing the Psalms, and as they sing all kinds of psalms. Your heart has this sense of awe-filled wonder. It's like they said, yeah, you can be a priest if you're celibate and you got some singing skills. Because Because these priests just fill the room with these psalms. And your heart just can't feel this awesomeness of who God is. And you kind of think about how small you are and small your life is. And how big of a God and beautiful of a God there is that we have. Those are psalms of praise when we're lifted up beyond ourselves. Then we get back to the gut stuff, the ache deeply. We come to psalms of lament, psalms that say, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear this pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? You just feel the ache dripping from this poetry, don't you? I have some really great friends in California who are an awesome couple. They have given to their church. They serve at their church. They're just those type of people that light up a room when they come in. And about over a year ago, they shared with Stacy and I that they cannot get pregnant. And it breaks their soul that this is their desire. This is what they wanted more than anything else. And I can't help but think of the Psalms of Lament, those songs of longing and ache. God gives us a way to vent that to God. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? Then there's psalms that I call of lament plus rage. Many of you, when you heard this psalm, were struck that this is actually in the Bible. Well, in 597 BCE, the Babylonian Empire destroys the temple in Jerusalem and deports 10% of its population to Babylon. And then in 585 BCE, they come back, destroy the temple, and deport even more. So think about your home being destroyed by a foreign invasion and then being forced to live where it's not your homeland. And in the midst of that moment, in the midst by the Babylonian, in that empire, this poem was written. O daughter Babylon, you devastator, happy shall they be who pay you back what you have done to us. Happy shall they be who take your little ones and dash them against the rock. Do you hear the ache in that poem? Do you hear that devastation of their soul? And it took me a little while to understand that we all have rage. We all have the ache. But the ache has to be given up to God. If we give our worst rage, God can handle it. God can handle our pain and our ache instead of our pain and ache being played out in one another. Incredible psalm, lament. And then there's psalms of petition or complaint, like 55. Give ear to my prayer, O God. Do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and answer me. I am troubled in my complaint. I am distraught. Psalm 55, if you know, is written by King David. And the history is King David screwed up big time. Big time. So he commits adultery. And if that wasn't bad enough, then he sends the person who committed adultery's husband to the front of the battlefield. And he's killed. So just so we're keeping score, he's lied, he's cheated, he's committed adultery. And then he sends her husband to the front. And he lost the baby that was in her womb. So finally, after months or after years, David's coming clean, coming out of this downward spiral he's in. And he says to God, give ear to my prayer. Do not hide yourself from me. God gives us a psalm that helps us no matter where we're at, no matter if we're in the pit of despair, that can help us to communicate to God. Then there's these wisdom psalms. Now, these are the psalms that we seem to need every once in a while in our soul, some instruction, some type of teaching on how we should live. And the psalms are filled with these type of verses. They are like trees, that is righteous people, planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season. And their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. And these psalms remind us of God's steadfast love. These psalms teach us and encourage us to continue to walk in the way. When we feel like we can't put one foot in front of the other, wisdom psalms remind us that there's abundant life flowing from God. And then there's psalms of trust. We all know this psalm. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I remember when I was 19 years old, I was schlepping at UPS, carrying big boxes every day, packing up small airplanes, unpacking big, huge vans. And also, I was trying to go to school. And I knew that I had to do the school if I wanted this pastor gig thing to work out. So, but there's this sense of that physical manual labor, how tough it is. And then having to go to class at the same time. I had to wake up at 2:30 a.m. and I worked till 7:30 a.m. and then I got to class by 8 a.m. And I remember one morning just saying, I can't do this. I cannot take another step. And this psalm rushed over me, reminding me that it's God who helps me to walk through this dark valley. That it's God who is with me. Powerful reminder. Psalms of trust. Psalms of confidence. And so what is incredible is we have a psalm book that allows us to address the highs and lows of life to God and everything in between. From laments and rage to praise and thanksgiving. Through the psalms, we get to voice ourselves and our hearts to God. But the psalms never leave us there. The psalms also move us, that we address our ache to God and God addresses God's ache to us. So there's this interesting movement. And a biblical scholar talks about this as orientation, or a moment when life is good, where God brings us to this place where we see the beauty and the mountains and the sunrise and the sunsets and the precious babies in our midst, and life is good. But then God doesn't leave us there. God moves us to these places of disorientation, or life is not good. In this place, we feel the brokenness, the pain, the sorrow. This is the land of the ache, disorientation. But it's in disorientation that God is able to transform us, to move us to become the type of people he wants us to be. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a surprising reality hits our life. That's new orientation, where a new movement of God's love, life is good once again. We could see the colors of the rainbow. We could see through the mists of the disorientation to the new life and abundant life that God offers. So for the next 3 weeks, we'll have the beautiful acrylic paintings of Lindsay McLean. Orientation, life is good. Disorientation, life's not good. New orientation, life is good again. And we'll reflect with the community on how God speaks to our ache. And there's one more psalm. There's a royal psalm. Royal psalms talk about kingship. It talks about the hope of a Messiah to come. A hope of someone who will set the world aright. A hope of someone who will finally put an end to this ache. And Psalm 110 says, "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord sends out of Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your foes." This psalm is quoted more by the early Christians than any other psalm, because they believed that a new king had come. They believed that King Jesus had set the world free. They believed that the ache could finally, finally be relieved through what the king was bringing to our world. That's why at the end of Jesus' life, they put a little placard above the cross and it said, "The King of the Jews." So early Christians were people of the ache. And we are people of the ache. We express our aches to God through the psalms, but we ourselves are addressed by God's aches for the world. And when we ourselves wrap ourselves, immerse ourselves, learn to pray these psalms, we find ourselves addressed by God. We find that we begin to love what God loves, that we ache for what God aches for. We ache for righteousness, just like God. We ache for justice, just like God. We ache for loving kindness and beauty to be given to every human being. We ache for a world that is made new. for our hearts that are rebound, for brokenness that is healed. The Psalms, the beautiful Psalms, are spiritual food as we journey with the ache. Amen.